Dr. Nicholas Crisp joins us now, Acting Director General at the Department of Health. Nicholas, good afternoon. I know you're a very busy man, so really appreciate your time.
Afternoon, John, and hello to your listeners.
Well, we got all these extra doses in stock. Give people like me a booster shot, please. Seems obvious.
Indeed, and I guess it is obvious, but you still have to follow the procedure and make things safe and prepare the necessary rollout experience and get the systems organized and make sure you have everything in place. So that the first report is, yes, indeed, we have been informed that Pfizer has made an application for registration for boosters. And that's fine. It'll go through the SAHPRA process. The health departments don't get involved in the regulatory process. So they'll tell us when that is done. And the second question about do we have large stocks of vaccine? Yes, indeed, we do, both of Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson. You'll recall not long ago we were having a conversation about not having any vaccine and having a huge amount of capacity. Now we find ourselves in a different position. So for a couple of months now, we have been slowly shifting out our delivery dates to make sure that we don't sit with a poor capacity in our fridges for large volumes of vaccine. And also because we know that there are other countries who are desperately in need of vaccine. So why would we stockpile when we know that other countries are trying to get hold of vaccine? So we will take up our orders, but we are fortunately able with both our suppliers to push our delivery dates out while we have a lot of vaccine in stock.
I appreciate that the SAHPRA process must be independent of the Department of Health, but you will have much more experience of how quickly or how slowly SAHPRA works, and one wants them to be thorough. But there is quite a lot of gathered evidence from around the world that booster shots are both necessary and effective. So is there any kind of expectation of when SAHPRA might give the answer which most people who believe in vaccinations would expect, which is that go ahead with boosters?
Let's take these things one at a time. So we vaccinated healthcare workers from the 17th of February under a special program because we couldn't get the vaccine through any other way. And we used Johnson & Johnson, which is a particular type of vaccine, which you call an Ad26 vaccine, which is different from the mRNA vaccine, which we get from Pfizer. That the group of people was close to 500,000, and they were vaccinated under a specific program, which people know as Sisonke. Now, those healthcare workers have been offered now a Sisonke 2, because Johnson & Johnson has not applied for a booster dose, and we don't have a particular registration for booster doses, but there seems to be more than sufficient evidence that both a booster of Johnson & Johnson on top of Johnson & Johnson and more lately a Pfizer vaccine after a Johnson & Johnson vaccine give boosts the immunity. So both of them seem to be very useful, very good, and a very good idea. But what we had already planned was to roll out the second dose of Johnson & Johnson to healthcare workers, and we went ahead with that so as not to confuse and complicate the applications for that study with the regulator, SAHPRA, in other words. So that's been approved. In the meantime, we have embarked on a process to get approval for a Pfizer booster shot on top of Johnson & Johnson. Again, we'll do that with the healthcare workers who were the early vaccinators because they've been the longest since their vaccination. So if they have if their immunity has decreased, we call it waning, then they would be the ones we would want to boost. And because we know that we will enter into a fourth wave at some stage, then we want our healthcare workers protected. So they're our immediate interest. Then the other interest group is those who have immune deficiency, what we call immune compromised conditions. There's a specific group of people that have got transplants and on dialysis and cancers and so forth. And that group of people, we should be able to, within the next week or so, start offering them additional doses. So it's not quite a booster dose because they won't have waited for a long time since their previous doses. It's just an extended primary schedule, if you like. And that can be done with either the Pfizer or the Johnson & Johnson. And then there's a whole range of issues around what do we do with children? Do we give them the second dose or not? We're expecting to get advice on that from the ministerial advisory committee this week.
Yes, I mean, quite a few people, I don't know whether they are part of the MAC or not, have said that it's a better use of the Pfizer vaccines that are available to give them as a booster to people over the age of 60 than it is to give as a single shot to somebody who's 14 or 17.
Well, the current flare that we are seeing or uptick is all under the age of 45, and most of it is in children between the ages of 11 and 19. That seems to be the concentration. So we don't really know what we're heading into in our next stage of this pandemic, but we do know that children are at risk, and we don't want to see children dying unnecessarily. So while some people think it's not a good idea to vaccinate children, I think we now need to be thinking of everybody. But those who are pushing for the vaccination of old people like me are absolutely right. We are at the greater risk once we get older, and we will be moving, I'm sure, into an era of vaccinating boosters for older people. So
I appreciate that you can't say to me, John, it's going to happen on the 6th of January next year. I really appreciate that you can't, because it's out of your hands. But I want some sense, because you're at the center of these discussions on a daily basis, of whether that is likely before the end of the year or perhaps only towards the end of the first quarter of next year.
No, it won't be that far into the future. I'm pretty sure everybody knows that these are urgent. So we have been, all these things are running in parallel with various recommendations and dotting I's and crossing T's. We live in a litigious society, so we are being very cautious and making sure that we don't take any decisions based on small sample sizes or whatever. But I think the evidence is becoming overwhelming now. And I'm hoping that we get very clear advice in the next couple of days or week.
Okay, as soon as that. You mentioned the fourth wave, and it's been part of the conversation for quite a while now, since we heaved a sigh of relief that the worst of the third wave was over, and we went onto that kind of plateau where we've been for a couple of months. But there are now signs, particularly in Gauteng, the doubling of the test positivity rate. All of these things are off this low base, but they are happening. And again, I appreciate that it's not possible for you to say, John, the fourth wave is going to hit us in the last week of December, and it's going to have X impact on hospitals and Y impact on deaths. But what's the current thinking amongst the modelers that the Department of Health uses around roughly when and roughly how bad by comparison with third, second waves and so on?
Yeah, so there are lots of variables in this, and without trying to overcomplicate it and without dodging your question, we will get a fourth wave. We are under no illusions about that. Whether these first upticks are just the flames or whether this is the start of it, and exactly when you start to declare a wave is a matter that scientists debate and everybody has a different opinion about. I think for the fact that we are seeing the uptick, and it seems to be sustained now since Monday last week, I think we should all start preparing, getting our vaccinations, making sure that we are completely protected, because it's going to come. And, the more everybody is protected, the better. But, obviously we watch and we're getting reports on a daily basis. We are hoping to get some further reports by tomorrow so we get a better handle on exactly what is happening. We have had meetings over the last 24 hours with various of the groups of scientists in the labs. So I think we're piecing together what is happening. And I'm sure over the next week or so, things will unfold and we'll get a clearer picture. But I think people must anticipate that they need to start taking stronger precautions, not taking this lightly at all, making sure that everybody is vaccinated, please.
And final question from a listener, we do have to let you go. Is there a discussion about children under the age of 12 getting vaccines, which is happening in many parts around the world, children between 5 and, when you stop being a child are being vaccinated?
Yeah, in fact, in Colombia, it's already part of the childhood schedule to get into school. So we know that that has happened. We haven't had an application yet in South Africa for the registration of any vaccine under the age of 12. But I'm pretty sure it's coming. We were warned some months ago, or given a heads up, let's put it that way, that Pfizer intended to present some findings and make an application early in the new year. So if that happens, we'll let the regulator look at the evidence. And fortunately, now there is a lot of evidence around the world, and we'll have a look at it in our context to make decisions.
Dr. Nicholas Crisp, the Acting Director General at the Department of Health, thank you for your time.